You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
We're here to talk about an interesting new movie that I really kind of wasn't expecting when I started it. But before we get into that, my name, of course, is Aaron. Here with us, we have Bradley.
Yeah, hello.
I realize it is Bradley and not Brad, right?
Yes, Bradley with an E, except it's silent and also invisible.
And Harmony.
Harmony with an I, just to throw everybody off. So now that we've all got our wonderful spellings out of the way.
Also, that's a Tuca and Birdie joke. That's not my joke. I stole that joke. Yeah.
So anyways, this is Proximity, which is a new independent film coming out, or it may not be independent, but it's coming out on VOD, which I automatically assume is independent. And it is a first-time director and writer who actually, he's done a few short films, and he's also done visual effects for some relatively major Hollywood films. But his name is Eric DeMussy, and this was kind of his launch across the bow for a first movie. And I gotta say, right off the bat, this movie kind of started at 11. And I was not emotionally prepared for how quickly this movie was starting. Because right out of the gate, in a movie that I thought would like climax with a big alien reveal, like 10 minutes in, no. Aliens exist, and we have crash landed on Earth. And this guy has them on camera right there in front of God and everybody. It's just that the next day, nobody really believes him. And so the main character, Isaac, played by Ryan Messon, he does what any modern day technophile would do. And he uploads that shit up on YouTube or whatever non-union equivalent is. And which starts this giant fervor. And he ends up going down this rabbit hole of conspiracy, trying to kind of prove that the aliens did indeed come, but also kind of going, like, why do I have to do this? Mm-hmm. And then, because shit is real, he ultimately gets wrapped up into a massive nationwide government conspiracy with all kinds of crazy hijinks and laser guns and robot soldiers. And this movie went a lot harder than I was expecting to, I gotta admit.
And the music to the movie is so intense the whole time that I literally screamed when we have our 10-minute in alien appearance, and because it was just so amped up like the whole time.
I legit had to go check the time code on the screener because I was convinced I had accidentally jumped into the last 20 minutes of the movie.
No, I jumped too.
I was not prepared.
Aliens scare the crap out of me already, and the reveal of the alien that soon gave me the heebie-jeebies. Yep. I was the one kid on the school bus that people made fun of because I was afraid of E.T. the extraterrestrial. Oh. So that's my trauma.
Oh, no. It is traumatic, and we can talk about that at some point. I'm sure we can talk about how I was traumatized by E.T. could be a whole thing. But
but yeah, like, I mean, honestly, overall, like, I, for the most part, like, there are some issues I have with this movie that I'm sure we'll get into, but I actually mostly kind of really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was a surprising shot across the bow as a first-time directorial effort. Like, the movie does move at a pretty good clip. It does go through a couple of surprising turns. The effects work is actually really good, which is not surprising considering this is somebody who normally does that for a job. Like, honestly, the only issues I had is at about the halfway point, they introduce a new character, and I'm not going to go into the setup too much because I don't want to spoil any of the movie, but it is the laziest, most casual setup for who is a major player in the last half of the movie I have ever seen in a film. Like, it's the equivalent of them going, hey, we kind of need access to a computer, and they go, oh yeah, there's a guy who has a computer 3 miles away, and that guy becomes super important. Right. And it goes into it in a way that maybe this is because I have a tech background, but as this gentleman is talking about having an untraceable like connection to the internet and doing all this fancy stuff, it really felt like when you watch those old like CSI TV shows and they have some 50-year-old guy write the script who clearly doesn't know how to turn on a computer.
Right.
And
right.
he's trying to talk about like the dark web.
Yeah.
And so like, it was just like, no, that's none of this is how this works. And I know it is, but like, even though I enjoyed that character every single time he showed up, I was just like, but like, you're why, how is this set up? But like, aside from that one thing, like I actually ended up really enjoying this movie. What do you guys think?
Well, I just wanted to say, since the movie Hackers, dude, computers haven't been computers in cinema. They've been magic boxes. Mm-hmm. And you just That's kind true. Of accept what happens when someone's on a computer. No? Is that just me?
No, I'm...
Am I the only one preconditioned to correlate mutant magic and computers?
No, I get what you're saying, but also get it's like when people who actually can understand it, and I'm very intermediate when it comes to computers and stuff like that, that even I'm like, that seems unlikely. You're just kind of, no. But yeah, this movie, it's not going to win any Oscars for storytelling, I don't think. I was enjoying it up until a couple of turns in, and then, like I said, when we were off, that I literally got out of my chair for a second, and then had to like come back, bring myself back in to watch the rest of it. I did enjoy it up to that point, but the surprise really took me out of it. It was really hard for me to get back into it at that point, and that should have been something more substantial, and it just it angered me.
it's a twist out of left field, and we can't talk about it too much because it's in the third act of the movie.
Right.
It's very much kind of what it's built around. And it's not so much a twist either as just kind of a reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Like, I like the idea, I think, more than you did.
Yeah.
But I will agree that it was kind of awkwardly handled. Like yay, A for effort.
Right.
But kind of failed in the execution.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because the director does a great job. He makes this movie that's kind of almost like I was pinging you guys as I was watching it going, this feels like a Spielberg adventure film if Spielberg were like in his 20s or 30s just starting out today.
Mm-hmm,
because like it would have the whimsy and the fun and the way he shot the robot soldiers on motorcycles, which I'm not going to explain, just fucking deal with that, whoever's listening.
Explained,
like,
but all right, cool.
It feels so much like a Spielberg, the way he would shoot that sequence, and then he would kind of go into this montage thing, which is very much a modern day indie film trope where the
right.
music turns up and we're listening to some just kind of gentle folk rock or techno-y pop and watching what's happening, and they'll be like, oh, there goes the Spielberg illusion, this is the director having his own voice. But other than that, this felt very Spielbergian.
It also kind of felt like a science fiction young adult book to me. Like, it was something along the lines of, I don't know, I haven't seen it, Maze Runner or something like that, but it's this very much this young people against the government running for their lives, you know, that kind of, you know, feeling.
Yeah.
It felt very young adult science fiction, Tracker Deckers, all that stuff. So
and
sure, like the main character Isaac is on a journey,
right.
but suddenly he realizes he's not alone.
He's special.
When a hottie shows up. And that was very misogynistic of me to say, but that's kind of like the young adult.
Yeah,
trope.
No, it really was.
Sarah,
and it was the
plays,
young adult, and it was this, you know, the female lead, Sarah. Beautiful girl, you know, ethnically hard to pin down.
Yeah, Heidi Kwan.
Beautiful girl, and like, oh, this is wide, you know, wide appeal for everybody, you know, that kind of thing. So
it does something that you don't normally see. Like, in this kind of an alien abduction film,
mm-hmm.
normally the movies are paranoid, they're slow moving, mm-hmm. they're methodical. And it has a very specific tone and is often like, okay, the hero's questioning his sanity and is it real or is it not?
Right.
And it was refreshing to see them go in and make this kind of a film and be like, no, it's an adventure movie instead. Mm-hmm. Yay, there's fun and there's chases and it moves a lot quicker. And there's never a moment where we doubt whether or not the aliens are real. And like, it was refreshing to see that take on this old genre, because like, that's what really sets this movie apart to me.
Exactly. It's not about the saucer people or the aliens, even though for me, it's kind of weird to say that since the alien and the saucers looked really cool.
They did. It was really neat looking.
And they moved so fun and their appearances were, again, speaking from a source of young trauma here, very jarring. So when the film kind of slowed down and had those more tender moments, I'll say, and we realized that, oh, this isn't a story about what's beyond the moon. It's a story about, wouldn't it suck to be an adolescent that everyone thinks is full of shit?
Yeah.
Well, and it does a good job, too, of portraying the skepticism of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that I felt was believable without being just nasty, because, like, in movies like this, you either usually see the climax is when they upload it to YouTube.
Right.
And it's like, yay, it's out there. The people will believe. Or it's just bleak and nasty and they get murdered or something. They did a good job of people going, holy shit, these are aliens. And then an equal part going like, nah, this is fake. Come on, clearly.
And this guy who has been abducted, the most like traumatic thing to happen to him is that people are mean to him on the internet.
I think that's relatable.
You know what I mean? Like, like I get that.
My wife, who she was working outside my office when I was watching this during the day, and I got to that part and I just yelled out, no, don't read the comments, man.
Like, yeah. Oh, that was a mistake.
She just looked at me like, what?
Oh, man.
Well, when you suffer a trauma, you actually suffer a second trauma when someone you love or trust or even a complete stranger essentially says your feelings are dumb and you're dumb.
Yeah, no, I believe that. It's like, absolutely. Like, yeah, I survived this and then everybody's being an asshole. You know, like that's absolutely what would happen.
Honestly, like, why don't we go ahead and go into final thoughts? Harmony, since you're talking, why don't you go ahead and go on?
Sure. Like I said about the music, it's intense, like, the whole time. But it's actually really well done, even though it's like at 11 the whole time. It was very, like, John Williams-esque, like, here, I'm going to give you a portion of, like, a fraction of what we'd pay John Williams, and then I just want you to do it. And so that I found that entertaining to me, just being like a music person. So this movie, I think, like I said, I really enjoyed it up until about that last third or so. So it's not going to be, you know, 9 or 10 for me, but I'll probably give it about a 7 out of 10 laser robot cops that are chasing our friends.
Laser robot cops. On Fox. Sorry. All right. I actually enjoyed this pretty similarly. I really like the performance of Ryan Mason here. I happen to be a fanatic towards films about truth and what truth means. And this kid has such a vulnerability when someone's calling him a liar. And I thought he knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, when I started to realize, oh, this isn't about moon men or spaceships. It's about vulnerability in the face of truth. Do you bury that truth or do you share it with the world? And what are the consequences from either of those choices? I thought those were some really neat questions. Also, I liked Heidi Kwan as Sarah, mm-hmm. who's tagging along with Ryan Mason as Isaac. You know, I thought they were very well, chemistry-wise, mm-hmm. beautiful, you know. And, you know, all the ancillary characters were kind of fun.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Wilderness Daddy.
Wilderness Daddy, yeah. Played by Don Scribner. Carl. Yeah, I like Carl.
I like Carl.
I do think it's always a little strange when the real-life conspiracy theorist is right in these movies, because I always think, wouldn't they be a little less crazy if they actually were correct?
See, my question about him was, how does somebody who has isolated himself from society for 30 years be that tech savvy?
Yep.
Mail-ordered pamphlets. I don't know, man. Magic boxes.
You two could have a magic box in a box in the woods.
Yeah.
So what did you rate it?
7 goodbyes to 10 moon men. That's mine.
Right, I am. Honestly, I was really pleasantly surprised by this movie. I was expecting something along the lines of, God, I think it was that Charlie Sheen movie, The Arrival.
Oh, yeah.
Not the good one that won the Academy Awards, but like the one with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, where they had the aliens had the backward knees.
Yeah, like I remember like the moment that first abduction happens on like the first 10 minutes of the movie, it was like, okay, clearly I'm in for a different ride. And I was mostly here for it. I think Eric, I'm going to call him Eric, he does a really good job of telling this story in a way that we hadn't seen before, and I can't praise it highly enough for that. However, I do think he needs a bit more experience in the writing side of things. There were some really obvious shifts in the story that could have been smoothed out with a few passes on this script, I think, and it would have done this movie wonders. But as a director, as a storyteller, like, this is great. I loved watching this alien adventure movie. And even that thing in the third act, which kind of turned you guys off of it a bit, like I said, I do enjoy the idea behind it. It's something that should have been an overall theme of the movie and should have been hit home and tied throughout the entire picture instead of just showing up in the third act. And I think it would have been a lot stronger of a moment if that had happened. Like as it was, as a first time like feature film directorial effort, and please God tell me I haven't like missed a movie on IMDb and this is like his third movie, but this is really noteworthy. And if you're at all a fan of alien abduction stories, or even just kind of lighthearted early Spielberg, but more YA and less family friendly, then this is definitely something I think is worth checking out. I'm going to go ahead and give it I'm going to kind of steal part of Harmony's, 7.5 hot lava robot blood out of 10.
Awesome.
Hello, this is Bradley Martin with the Screener Squad. Today I'm going to be talking to, not just about, but to, writer-director Eric DeMussy about his new upcoming film, Proximity. Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Very good, thank you. Now, this is your directorial debut, I see, but you're a kind of old hat in the visual effects with your work on Tron Legacy. I see Game of Thrones opening title sequences, as well as the Stranger Things opening sequence, which actually sets the tone of that show immediately. Excellent work. What was it like stepping into the director's chair?
Yeah, that's right. Some of my background is in animation and visual effects, and I've been doing that for a few years now. And, the step into directing, it was always my main focus to make films and make feature films. And so, I spent, after graduating film school, trying to find a job in the industry, doing animation or editing or cinematography. Those were the things that I was good at. And I kind of discovered this animation industry and kind of fell into doing that for a while. And I was, like you mentioned, doing a lot of title sequences for film and TV. But in the meantime, I was making short films and submitting them to festivals and developing a feature film that I was trying to get off the ground, and then the idea for Proximity came to me, and all the opportunities just sort of aligned for it and allowed me to go off and make it.
Well, that's fantastic. I've seen the film. So we're thrown right into the action of Proximity. What kind of a story choice is that to get the action revved up immediately? And because usually these alien films are about the mystery. Would you say there's still a mystery to be solved in your story?
I think so. I mean, initially, the first draft of the script was actually a lot different for the opening. It was a lot more involved with the characters and some backstory on that, and there was kind of some side plots. And when we ended up trimming it down, we just jumped right into the main character. But I wanted to show what this movie was about and kind of establish the rules and say that this is a movie where UFO conspiracy is real and that this really happens to people. And I thought, that was, with what we did with the opening scene, I thought that was just an engaging way to get the audience, to introduce them into the movie, to get them into the story. And then also it was a really nice way to tie that element in later on into the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Ryan Mason, who plays Isaac, the protagonist of your story, he encounters the third kind, as I like to call them, alien life. And when he gets his story out there, I think it's the most relatable part of the film. A person who's sharing a truth that is completely unbelievable, with all due respects, of course. And the comment section, I'll call it, of the internet, either razzing him, praising him, or even going to bullying him. That's a major theme throughout your film. Why is that so important to you, that to get that relatable character?
Well, I think the thing that was really interesting to me was the idea of, you know, somebody who didn't necessarily believe in this sort of thing, and if this happened to them, what kind of effect it would have on them. The idea of trying to get this story out and to try to get other people to believe you, you're sort of looking for some kind of human connection in a way. You're looking for validation for somebody to say, like, yeah, no, I've experienced that, or I've seen that, I believe you. But when you don't get that, I think it could drive a person crazy. And that's kind of in the story, that kind of drives him into obsession and not even really sure what he's searching for, but he needs some kind of closure to all this. With the feedback, I thought that was, just modern times and how the internet works, and it could be such a harsh environment, you know, showing that in its true state. And, you know, because a lot of times on the internet, you're on one side of it and you don't see the effects that it has on another person. And just having, you know, people that agree with him or people that don't agree with him, even if there were some people that agreed with him, the people that don't agree with him are the ones he's going to focus on and what's going to really drive him to try and prove his story.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good mixed showing of how the internet works. And even myself watching the film, seeing the comment, there's this one comment that essentially says, you should kill yourself. And that still has me a little shook, like, oh, no, like, my kids are very creative. Are they going to get this kind of feedback? How do I keep them away from it? But then that's something else I really like that your film explores, is should you hide truth just because of negative feedback? It's, well, the most relatable journey of it. Ryan Mason, I wanted to talk about real quick, his past the point of no return, being called these things, his expression is so almost heart-wrenching. Where do you find these actors? That's kind of a broad question. Like, what was it like working with him, I'll say?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that was really important to us, was, you know, to find actors that could embody these characters and bring them to life. And I always felt Isaac was this kind of misunderstood character, and in the beginning of the story, going through kind of a difficult time, and he's kind of quiet and reserved. And, you know, we went through a pretty heavy casting process in the beginning of this. We thought we were just making like at the time we were trying to raise just enough money to make maybe a short film or like a 10 to 15 minute chunk of the movie, but we were going into casting it as if we were making the feature. So the main characters, we were trying to find the actors that we would actually use throughout the rest of the movie. Yeah, Ryan was somebody that stuck out to me early on. I remember just with all the submissions that we got in, he was somebody that was on the top of my radar. And then, you know, we went through a casting process, and we did chemistry reads with him and Heidi, who played Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And they just brought the characters to life, and I knew that I could just trust them with the material and not have to worry about it. And that's the great thing about working with talented actors, is that it feels like half your job is already done, because it's something you don't have to focus on or worry about. They kind of just get it.
That's something I like to hear as well. Well, in closing, what would you say your biggest sci-fi inspiration is?
Yeah. I find myself relating more to the type of sci-fi that you may not that may not ring as sci-fi. I think when people think about sci-fi, you think of things like Star Trek and stuff, you know, like Back to the Future, and, you know, the more kind of grounded, kind of human stories. Obviously, Star Wars is a huge inspiration for a lot of people, and that's definitely a huge inspiration for me. You know, The Matrix was a big one early on for me, too. Yeah, it's hard to pick just one, but there's so many great sci-fis and so many different versions of it.
What I love most about sci-fi, and what I feel your film does, is it tells a human story through supernatural elements or scientific, hopeful, futuristic, cool visuals and stuff. And I think you've accomplished that, and I really enjoyed speaking with you. Is there anything you'd like to promote before you go?
No, that's it. I mean, the movie's coming out on the 15th of May, and
excellent.
Looking forward to releasing it and getting it out to everybody. And I hope it finds its audience and that people enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And listeners, that's May 15th, Proximity. I've been listening to Bradley Martin on the Screener Squad. Just chat a bit with Eric Demusi about Proximity. Have a great day.